Let's sing it to him as a prayer this morning.
Hallelujah. And give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. He's worthy of it. Amen. We want him to rain down this morning. Praise the Lord. We got some announcements and testimonies and prayer requests we want to share this morning. One, just to remind you, we will not be having a watch night service this year, so no watch night service. We will be for next year, just to go ahead and start announcing it a little in advance, and I think I mentioned it once before, but just to kind of have that on your in the back of your mind there, we will not be having 4th of July meetings next year. Normally, we've annually historically had 4th of July meetings, but due to so many of the youth going to BYC up into Indianapolis there for the meetings that Brother Sievert arranges for the youth, and I think even more wanting to go this coming year, it kind of overlaps our 4th of July meetings, and so we decided that we would not have 4th of July meetings this year. Instead of that, we'll be having Memorial Day services in its place, and then we'll be having our regular Labor Day meetings. So if you're planning vacations and things for next year, maybe try not to plan them around Memorial Day and Labor Day. We'll be, Lord willing, having some guest ministers that I believe will be a blessing to us. And then speaking of visitors, we have some of Brother David Andy's family, I think, visiting with us this morning, and some of their friends as well in town visiting. So we're certainly happy to have them and all of our visitors this morning. As you can tell, it's a little empty this morning because we got a whole lot of people out sick. I guess it's just that time of year. And so we'll kind of go over some of those in a moment for the prayer requests. But wanted to share some testimonies before we get to that. Brother Ben Wright had said Sister Crystal went up for prayer Sunday, was having some flu-like symptoms, but when she woke up Monday morning, she was feeling totally fine and been feeling well since. So we want to praise the Lord for that. And then Brother Trevor had come up for prayer, I believe, as well Sunday night while we were praying for some others. He stood and wanted us to have him have prayer for him. His back and neck had been, or that might have been Wednesday night, I can't remember, but one of the two, Sunday night or Wednesday night, Brother Layton, he had stood in prayer, and his back and his neck was just really pulled and having a lot of pain and was getting ready to go on this trip and wanted prayer for that. And the next morning he was getting ready for work and everything, and all of a sudden his back just went back into place. So I want to praise the Lord for that. And then Sister Colleen Dabney, she was very sick last Wednesday. And the family had reached out to Brother Hoover, and he had reached out to me, and we had a word of prayer for her. And she said, I'd like to praise the Lord for healing me last Wednesday, so we want to praise the Lord for that as well.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Amen. We serve a wonderful, mighty God, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. So as we go to these prayer requests, I always like to read the testimonies first so we know what God is able to do and that he's more than able for these requests as well. Brother Furman and his family are traveling home today. They are headed back from Utah, and they drove part of the way yesterday, and I believe they just left Albuquerque a few minutes ago. He had texted me and said, so I want to remember them in prayer for travels. And then Brother Trevor is preaching for Brother Jack Duff in Florida this weekend, I think for Brother Danny Steeman next weekend. So I want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies and for the services there, that the Lord will just use him in a mighty way and bless those services. And then I've got a long list of people from the church that are not feeling well. So Brother Luke Nicholson, Sister Layton, the Sargent family, Brother Joshua Johnson and Naomi, Brother Yarborough, Noah and Lily Carter, and then my little boy Nathaniel, he's still under the weather. And then Ruth, she's been sick with a fever the last couple days, so I want to remember her in prayer as well. And then Sister Patty Ard, she's been having problems the last little bit where when she's having dialysis, her blood pressure drops extremely low. And that happened again this morning. And Brother Jimmy is on his way to pick her up from dialysis, so we want to remember her in prayer. That the Lord just touch her and just heal her completely. And then Joseph Sargent, we want to remember him specifically in prayer, even though we prayed for the family. I think they had the flu or some kind of sickness. They're actually feeling a little bit better, but they're still contagious, and they decided to stay home. I said, well, thank you for not giving us that gift because we didn't want it. So, but Joseph, he's got no feeling in one finger due to some nerve damage. And his doctor's concerned that he could lose the finger over it. So they're wanting him to see a hand specialist in the next couple weeks. So we want to remember him in prayer. The Lord just move on the scene, not only cause him not to lose the finger, but also to just be able to heal the nerve damage that's been done, just believing and expecting a testimony from that. And then Brother Chad Vaughn's grandfather is in the hospital with pneumonia. We want to remember him in prayer this morning. And I'd like us to continue to remember Brother Don Marsh, who's diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and also Brother Mike Eplin, who we believe is completely healed, and the doctors are amazed that the cancer that they diagnosed him with hasn't progressed, but we're just believing that it'll be completely gone and that the doctors will testify of that as well. So how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Arnie, would you come this morning and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
We're so grateful that the welcome mat's always out for your people. Lord, you were leaving the line on for us long before the motel change began. We're so glad, Lord. We can call on you anytime, night or day. We have a hotline to heaven, Lord. We're so grateful. We thank you today, Lord, for another opportunity to come together and worship you as a body of believers. We all bring our little lick of fire, and I believe that that brings the pillar of fire amongst us. We're so grateful for that, Lord. That's an awesome thing in this hour. We're glad, Lord, that you help us to continue to receive revelation in the midst of a Laodicean church age who deny the supernatural. They deny a word of a prophet. But, Lord, because our names were on the book before the world began, we're able to see today. You've touched our eyes and caused us to understand what the true word of God is. And Lord, we're needy people today. We have so many needs among us physically, and we know that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I pray, Lord, that you would touch each one that needs healing today. Pray that you would bless our families, Lord, and cause them to see Christ in us. I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless Brother Nathan in the ministry here. Continue to anoint him and continue to give him wisdom. Thank you for the love that you've placed in his heart for these dear people. And I pray, Lord, that you would take charge of this service today. I pray that you'd bless my little grandson, Leo. Let him feel happy amongst us. We'll give you the honor and glory, and we ask you these things in the powerful and wonderful name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Everybody said, amen.
Good morning, church. We'll be reading the 56th chapter of the book of Psalms. That's 5-6. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me.
My enemies would daily swallow me up. Daily in the fire against me.
What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee.
In God I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear.
Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil.
They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. They liberate my soul.
Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God.
Thou tellest my wonders. Put thou my tears into thy bowl. Are they not in thy book?
When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me.
In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word.
In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me.
Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee.
For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? God bless you. Please be seated.
brothers would come at this time. I'll add to the announcements that Brother, or addendum to the announcements. You can plan your vacation around July the 4th, and that way we could use some of you adults at youth camp as counselors in the cabins. They have plenty of kitchen help, but we need people in the cabins to be counselors for the young people. So mark your calendars accordingly. And I'm going to make some folks just feel right at home since they're here for the first time, I believe. They don't know how Brother Hoover conducts things, but I just get to call on people that I think might have a special. So do the Andes have a special? Do you all sing? Nope. No, not today. Okay, I understand.
I think Brother Hoover has one.
And for those of you that haven't got to see our brother sitting back here, if that's not John Andy sitting in that pew next to Brother David Andes, I haven't seen him. But we appreciate them being here this morning. Didn't mean to put them on the spot, but we do want them to bless us with a song if they have one. So let's sing the chorus, Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Don't you appreciate the Lord?
Amen.
I just like the way the Lord does things. I give the musicians a list of songs that's on my heart, but as they can attest, it's only suggestions because I'm liable to change the songs on them at any time. But when I was downstairs, I started to write down to start out with, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. And for some reason, I just couldn't write it down. And I wrote down some other songs. And then Sister Stephanie comes to the piano and starts playing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. I'm in the right channel. And then I was coming down the hill into New Albany from out in the Knobs. And I heard Sister Dottie singing that song. And I came up and asked her, did she have a special? And I started to tell her what song I wanted. And I walked away before I told her the song, and I didn't want to come back. And then the Holy Spirit laid the right song on her heart. Amen. I'm just glad the way the Holy Spirit works.
Amen.
Man can't put it together like that. Only the Lord can.
Amen.
Page 43, I believe it is. We have we've come to the table this morning, and if you go away hungry, I will say this. It's no one's fault but your own if you go away hungry. God's got a 7-course meal for us. There's a Holy Ghost-filled, anointed man to come and bring the word to us this morning. And I'm here to eat. I'm here to receive and take in. You don't have to ask if it's okay for seconds. Okay? Just tell the Holy Spirit, pass me some of that blessing. Pass me some healing. Pass me some salvation. Pass me the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You say, I've got the Holy Ghost. You can have more.
Amen.
There's more for you. I got to stop. Shall we stand as we sing? Jesus has a table.
What she came to do this morning.
Amen.
Amen. We had a prophet in this age tell us that we're not feeding on the words of a man, but we're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Amen. That's a big mouthful for some people to swallow, but I'm just simple enough to believe it. Amen. So I hope you didn't come this morning just to hear a man speak or just to see your neighbor and what they wore and what they got for Christmas and all that. But I believe when we begin to look into the Word, then we can feast on the Word. So, amen. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. I told Brother Hoover to pray for me this morning. I've got three different sermons, and I'm not sure which one that we're going to hear this morning. And he said, well, you can do all three if you just take 15 minutes for each. And I said, well, I don't think I can do that. But so I was studying yesterday, and the Lord sometimes, or not sometimes, all the time, we can't figure him out. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And just about the time we think, well, I've got this figured out, he comes, and we realize, no, I really, really didn't have it figured out after all. And I had the opportunity Friday to, the Lord kind of led my path down a little different route than I expected, and had the opportunity to be involved in a couple things that I wasn't really expecting. And, you know, I'd just been talking a few Wednesday nights ago about how that we should ask the Lord to help us to yield to him, not just when we're at church, but when we're going to the grocery. Lord, what grocery store should I go to so that I can be a help to somebody and things like that? And the Lord just somehow I didn't really do any works or anything to deserve it, I guess, but the Lord just kind of led me down a path Friday of some things that took place that I thought, Lord, that had to be you. And I called my wife and I said, honey, I feel like I've been about the Father's business today, because it just seemed like time after time things were falling into place. And so I started sharing that with Brother Hoover and a testimony that I'd heard when I was praying for a sister in the hospital this week. And the Lord kind of just impressed me. That's a sermon right there. And I got to looking into that and into just some different things that God has done. But I believe maybe tonight we'll look at those things. And if you can, this is the Sunday morning crowd, and we've got so many out sick that it's not really the full Sunday morning crowd. But if you can tonight, try to come back. I'd like to share some testimonies and things with you as far as from our family and some experiences and things that I got to looking at in regards to some things that took place this week and things that I guess shame on me that I've never really shared to the church before in its entirety. And Brother Wade got to hear a portion of it because he got to ask me some questions. And I actually had one testimony just a little bit wrong, Brother Wade, but I'll correct that tonight when I shared it with him. And I went back, and when I was going to talk about some of these things, I went back and started asking some of the family members different details and things. But I was praying this morning. I initially thought about bringing that this morning, and then the Lord gave me a thought late last night, and then I got up here and I thought, well, Lord, which direction do I go? And just seemed like everything, the song service and the psalm and different things, seems to be pointing in this other direction. So we'll with the Lord, you just take a step, and if it's him, then he just keeps confirming. And if it's not, you say, well, sorry, Lord, and you take a step back and start over. So God bless you this morning. Let's let's turn into the Word, if you would, into let's start at Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, and want to read verses 9 through the beginning of verse 14. Familiar verse, I'm sure, to many of us, but Isaiah here, God speaking through him, he says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now that sounds strange. Usually we would think the word would come and it'd deliver somebody and set them free. But here he says, even though they refused to receive it, the word was still unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line. But in this case, it was a stumbling block to them, that they might fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. You see, as we've looked at before, there's when the word goes forth, it's always a message of deliverance. But to those that reject it as a message of deliverance, it becomes a message of judgment. And he goes on to say, wherefore hear the word of the Lord. And I want to look at this thought. And you know, I got to looking at some some of the sermon notes and things that I've studied and looked at over the last few months. And sometimes, you know, as a minister, some of these brothers that are minister brothers understand, sometimes you'll be listening to a tape or reading your scriptures, and just a little line might stand out as a title, and you'll write that down. And then later on, when you hear a quote or a scripture that ties in with that, you'll go back and add that to your notes, and it just keeps building and building. And sometimes you just sit down and study directly on that. But I got to looking at some of the sermon titles and things that I had been studying on lately, and I found about half of them would fit under this category that I want to speak on this morning. So we may take a little series on this and just see how the Lord leads. But I want to start it out this morning with this thought of a scriptural voice. A scriptural voice. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne again this morning, Lord, we've heard the prayer requests, Lord. We've heard the testimonies. Lord, we know that you're still God and that you're still moving on the scene and answering prayer. And Lord, even testimonies that I've heard this week of how that you're moving and healing and dealing in lives and helping people, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you're not some God of history, but that you're a present tense God, and that we had a prophet in this age that came to lift you up out of history. Lord, that it wasn't just some past tense something, but a present tense God, that when we have a need, we can turn to you and that you hear and answer prayer. Lord, we've heard the prayer requests this morning, many that are sick in body, many that are traveling, and Lord, we just ask that you'd be with each and every one. Protect those that are on the road, Lord. Touch those that are sick in body. Lord, this time of year, so many germs and things going around and sickness. Lord, even in my own body, just a little bit of drainage and cough and the enemy trying to hinder the service this morning and take my voice. But Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us, Lord. Amen. Give me the voice to speak. Give us the strength as a group of believers, Lord. And help those out there in the pews, Lord, not to just come and sit and it just be another Sunday service, but may they do their part. And may they pull on the gift, Lord, that you placed in my life. I didn't place it there, Lord. I have no ability on my own. But Lord, as Brother Branham taught us, you give men gifts. And that gift is to be able to get ourselves out of the way so that you could use us in a channel. And Lord, I just ask that you would do that again this morning, Lord. And help those that are here, Lord, to worship and praise you and do their part, Lord. May we not just be bumps on a log. May we not just be in attendance this morning, but may we be in divine presence this morning. Lord, move on the scene in a special way. Be with those that are home and sick, Lord. May you touch them. No doubt many of them wishing to be here this morning couldn't due to sickness or being contagious and different things, Lord. And I just ask you to bless them and heal their bodies, Lord. Bring them back to us soon, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this morning. I thought I saw Brother Jimmy slip in back there, and then he disappeared on me. Brother Jimmy, how's Sister Patty? I'm still having some problems. So we want to just maybe, just down in your heart this morning as the service continues, just remember her in prayer. And we'll just be believing that the same Holy Spirit that we feel here will go to her and just touch her and heal her body. I want to look at a few different scriptures this morning, so keep your Bibles close, and I'll have them up here on the slides. But, you know, just because we have the slides, and we've had them for a while, and I know most of you still bring your Bibles to read the Psalms and things like that, but I don't want to get us so spoiled with the slides that we forget how to use our Bibles. So keep your Bibles there and turn to the scriptures with me if you would as well. And we want to look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21 together. And then I want to read you a few places from the prophet and some other scriptures as we begin to look at this thought. And Peter, here in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now we recognize in the ages, the church ages, that as we look at it, that Brother Bam teaches us in the church age book, and it's scriptural, that the Word of God for each age will come to some individual, and then from that individual, it goes to a group of people, and that group is not receiving their own individual interpretation or their own individual revelation, but that group is receiving a collective revelation from the Holy Spirit. So when you hear somebody come around and they say, oh my, I'm the only one that preaches this, I'm the only one that believes this, I'm the only one that sees this, I usually, my toenails just begin to clench up in my shoes a little bit, because we recognize that God's of no, his word and his revelation is not of a private interpretation, that when the word of God comes, we recognize it's always come to an individual in each age, Moses and St. Paul and different ones that we could point out down through the scriptures, that God would send an anointed man and bring a message, but then from that message, there would always be a group that would go forth and accept and receive that message. One man brings the message in each age, but then there's another group that packs the message. You say, well, I've been taught differently than that. Well, then you haven't been taught scripturally or historically, and we find that God doesn't change his way of doing things. God has never changed his way of doing things. Now, dispensations have changed. God has changed dispensations to where God has dealt with different groups and different individuals, but his principal way of doing things has always remained the same. When he spoke in the beginning and he said, let there be light, the spoken word began to divide light from darkness. And Brother Bam said he's still doing the same thing in this age, that when the word goes forth, we would think that the word, when it would go forth, as many of you thought, no doubt, when you came to the message, I've heard different brothers testify that they came out of Pentecost and all kinds of different denominations within a denomination in Pentecost. And then maybe you came out of the Methodist Church and so many different denominations within a denomination of the Methodist Church and different ones, the Baptists or whatever it would be. And you came to the message, no doubt, and you thought, oh my, now we have the truth. Now there'll never be nobody disagree. Now there'll never be no arguing. There'll be no fussing and fighting because we have the revealed word for the day. And boy, were you in for a shock. Amen. My, you know, I heard a brother say one time, he said there was a brother years ago had made the statement, said when they get the message on computer, there won't be any more arguing because we'll just have it right there. And if anybody says anything, we can just type it in and say, well, this is what Brother Branham said. And that'll resolve all the arguments and all the fuss and all the fighting. But it's on there now, and there's still more arguing and fussing and fighting than there ever was. But God's word is of no private interpretation. Amen. The problem is that when the word comes, the way that we recognize, and we'll look into this thought a little further throughout the service and maybe throughout the coming weeks, but when the word of God comes, the way that we recognize it as the word of God is that it has to be a scriptural voice. Amen. And when we recognize a scriptural voice, then there's many that come along and they want to add their private interpretation to it. Well, I think it meant this, and I think it should be this way, and I think he meant it that way, and don't you think this would be a better way of doing it, and doesn't this make more sense, Brother Hoover, to do it this way? That's a private interpretation. I'm not interested in that. But when the word of God comes to the age and we have the perfect word with vindication, then we should receive it into our lives and apply it to our life. But yet it always causes, the truth always causes division. Jesus said, I didn't come to, just to bring peace to the earth, but he said, I came to divide a man and wife and a mother and a daughter-in-law and all these different things. Why? Was he evil? Was he trying to cause trouble? No, that's the devil that does that. But he knew that when he came and unfolded the truth, that there would be some that would cling to the truth with everything they had within them. There would be a group of people that would embrace the truth, whether mommy left them, whether daddy left them, whether spouse left them, whether friend left them, whatever it was, they would embrace that truth, and there would be others that would despise the truth or that would try to water it down and add their own flavor to it. But he recognized that when the word came, it would cause a division. It always has. Peter goes on to say, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'd like to say in this day, if you're going to accomplish anything, it will be if you're moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. All scripture that we have, it wasn't Moses. It wasn't Paul. They wrote the biggest majority of the Bible, those two men. It wasn't John the Revelator. He wrote another great portion of the scripture. It wasn't those men. It wasn't David who wrote all those Psalms. Maybe David would sit there and get anointed and sing a song and he would think, Lord, I don't even understand that myself. Why am I singing this? Why am I anointed to do that? And people would look at David and say, my, they pierced his hands and feet. We saw his casket. He didn't have no pierced hands or feet. What was he talking about? What was he just singing to hear his voice rattle? What was it? But it was the Holy Ghost moving upon men of God to write these things. Sometimes beyond their own will, beyond their own desire, maybe they would sit there and say, Lord, why would you cause me to do that? Why would you cause me to say that? But yet the Holy Spirit of God moving and impressing upon people. You think John the Baptist wanted to go and cause trouble with Herod and get his head chopped off just so he could say, hey, folks, I'm a martyr. And no, he didn't want to sit there in prison and have his head chopped off. But when he saw Herod in direct disobedience to the law of Moses, he came out and he cried against it. And it cost him his life. But if he hadn't, it wouldn't have been a scriptural voice.
Amen.
Conferences, 1961. Brother Branham said, now Moses knew that voice was God because it was scriptural. Remember when the pillar of fire came and spoke to Moses? And there he was on the side of the mountain and a spiritual vindication comes and God begins to speak to him. But, you know, many of us, the Bible said the Jews seek science the Greeks seek signs and the Jews seek wisdom. And you know, we're always looking for something. We're looking for some tangible something that we can latch onto, some manifestation or whatever it would be. But we'll hear Brother Branham say, Lord willing, if we get to it before time runs out on us, we'll hear him saying a quote at the end of the service that the greatest manifestation is a scriptural voice. The greatest manifestation. Oh, my, it was wonderful that Moses could come and he could throw his staff down and it could turn into a snake. But you know what? Janice and Jambres can impersonate that. It was wonderful that he could put his hand into his breast and show leprosy, but you know what? Janice and Jambres could imitate that. He could call the frogs out of the ponds. And Janice and Jambres, you go back and read it, they imitated that gift. They imitated that plague all the way up to the spoken word. And they couldn't imitate that. But they imitated it all the way up to the spoken word. But when he began to create fleas where there was no fleas and things like that, they said, this is too much. You know, their magic wasn't strong enough to impersonate that. But all the way up to that, they could impersonate the gift. But when a scriptural voice went forth, they said, well, you know, we don't really see it that way. When God spoke to Moses as a pillar of fire, my, how many of us, can you imagine, Brother Darrell, if you was going hunting and you was walking down through the woods with your bow across your back and you was out there praying and all of a sudden you see a supernatural flame and my, it begins to crackle and spark and you feel a presence that you don't understand and a voice begins to speak to you out of that. My, most of us would jump on that like anything. Didn't matter what that voice said to us. Didn't matter if it contradicted what Brother Branham said or what Paul said or what anybody said. Most of us would jump on that because of the supernatural that we were seeing. But you remember Brother Bam talks about Martin, and he said Martin in the church ages there, he said a man came in clothed in a nice robe and with a crown on, and he said, kneel and worship me, Martin. He said, oh, how the Pentecostal people would have jumped on that. But Martin, thank God for a man like Martin that could take a step back from the fanaticism. Thank God for a man like Martin that could take a step back from the excitement and the commotion and the exuberance and say, now, wait a minute, is this a scriptural voice? And Martin looks and he begins his mind. You remember the Holy Spirit said, Jesus said, take no thought what you shall say because the Holy Spirit will give it to you at that time. And Martin says, now, wait a minute. You're coming to me impersonating Christ and in a form that you would, you know, you're wanting me to recognize you as Christ and worship you, but Christ isn't crowned yet. He recognized. See how slim that it comes down sometimes to where something takes place and you think, oh my, that had to be God. That it seems so supernatural. It seems so real. It seems so exciting. But make sure it's a scriptural voice. Hey, let me tell you, when a scriptural voice comes forth, it will produce excitement. It will produce signs. It will produce wonders. It will produce emotion. It will produce all these things. My, can you imagine standing in the prayer line there and a scriptural voice speaking through a prophet of God and said, "Don't fear, that won't bother you." What was it? Something was happening. They were in the presence of something that was causing an emotion to come over them. He said, "Don't fear, that won't harm you." He's sent from the presence of God to help you. A scriptural voice. But many impersonators followed. Oh my. They was doing all kinds of things. They was smelling demons and biting demons and feeling power in their hands and oil in their hands and blood in their hands and all kinds of different things. No scripture to go along with it. Brother Bram said, "A man tell you he's got power in his hand." He said, he don't. He's a liar. He's a false prophet. Why? All power in heaven and earth was given to Jesus Christ. So if anybody else has any power, then he lost some somewhere. Somebody said, I believe in the Trinity. I believe that there's God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Well, then you believe in a powerless God, because if God and Jesus are two separate persons, the Bible said Jesus had all power in heaven and earth. So you're worshiping a powerless God somewhere. Why can't we recognize that it's one God in three offices? You say, "That doesn't make sense to me." The thing to me that makes the most sense of it is when Brother Bram says, "God above us, God with us, and God in us." God the Father, a spirit above us. Couldn't see him, couldn't handle him, couldn't touch him. No man had seen God at any time. Then God descend from God above us to God with us. And he comes as a baby in a manger. Same God, but in a human tabernacle. And then that body, you say, "What happened to that body?" Well, the Bible said it's on the right hand of God. But Brother Bam said it's not a big right hand sitting there with a big God and little bitty Jesus sitting on his hand like some of you crazy people with your elves on a shelf or something. Wasn't any of that. He said that right hand meant power. Meant that the theophany of Jesus had power. And then he sent back the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. No longer God above us. No longer God with us. But now God in us. Same God. How do you know, Brother Nathan? Because he acts the same way in the Holy Ghost believer that he did in Jesus. And he acted the same way in Jesus that he did in spirit form when he said, "Let there be," and there was. Amen. Same nature, same attributes. God above us, God with us, God in us. A scriptural voice. Now, Moses didn't say, "Oh, Zipporah, my goodness." He didn't begin just to get a worked up thing and say, "Oh my, you should have been with me on the mountain today. I saw something. My goodness." You know, you see some people come in, they're so excited. They feel like something supernatural has happened to them. They want to share it and they're excited. And there's just something about it when they go to express it. You don't want to say something negative about it in case it is the Holy Spirit. You don't want to blaspheme or criticize or make fun. But there's something about it that in your heart you just say, "Now, is there scripture for that? Is there scripture for that?" Don't be afraid of that. That's the Holy Ghost leading you and guiding you and protecting you. Brother Brown did the same thing. You remember the woman there, the woman preacher comes into the Branham Tabernacle, Brother Branham being a pastor at the time, and a woman preacher comes in from across the river over in Louisville, and she brings some of the other sisters from the church, and he said, "She played that thing, looked like if it had eight decks on it, she could have played all eight decks." And she was playing that piano, and he said, some of the girls that was singing with her, one of them got out and was dancing in the aisle, and he said, "I was sitting in the seat of the scornful." Oh my, many of us have been there, let's be honest. Sitting in the seat of the scornful. And he didn't get up and blast her and tell her she was a hypocrite and blast the thing. But he sits back and he begins to watch. And he said, "Here I am." He called it a Baptist tabernacle at the time. He said, "Here I am in a Baptist tabernacle." He said, "Oh my people are going to run me out of town." And he said, "I begin to watch that." And he thought, "Oh my, that seems like fanaticism." But yet he didn't want to speak anything against it, because he didn't know for sure. He wasn't settled in his heart. And he thought, "Lord, is there scripture for that?" My. You know, when we're approached with many things in this age, we should take a step back. Whether it's something supernatural that happens in our own life, or whether it's something that somebody's sharing with us, or some doctrine that somebody's trying to push with us, take a step back and say, "Lord, is there scripture for that?"
Amen.
And he said, I begin to think when Miriam and the children of Israel, Moses had brought them out of Egypt, and God had delivered him with the mighty hand, the waters parted, and they came across. He said, Miriam began to get the tambourine and dance on the banks. And he said, the children of Israel, those Israelite women began to dance with her. Why? Because they had the victory. Why? Because they had freedom. And he said, oh my. He said, he began to pat his foot a little bit. And he said, oh my. I began to think about David when he got out there and he was so excited to see the word of the Lord come back to the people, the ark of the Lord coming back into the city. And he said he began to dance around the ark, and his wife standing up there looking out, despising him, said, oh David, you make a fool of yourself. He said, oh, you think that's something? Watch this. And around he went again. And he said, before you knew it, I was out in the floor dancing with her. Right. Your prophet. That scares people when you say that. My prophet. He's my prophet too, okay? Dancing around the Branham Tabernacle. Oh my, people have a hard time with that. You know, people have a hard time with a lot of things Brother Branham did. He said he jumped up on the pulpit that time with his legs swinging over the side and got out walking in the aisle, rolling up his pants leg. He said, I don't know what I was doing, but it sure felt good. Hey man, we would have a problem with that today, wouldn't we? I wouldn't, but a lot of people would have a problem with it. I'd say, pour it on, Brother Branham. Amen. Amen. That's my kind of religion. Pour it on.
Amen.
Oh, my. You know, we forget sometimes. It's an age of trying to outdo everybody. One sister gets married, and her family has to remortgage the house for the wedding. And then some other poor little family, they got to outdo that sister's family because their daughter's getting married. And it's an age of trying to outdo everybody.
Right.
Somebody come to church in a nice automobile, and somebody's got to come in a nicer one. Then somebody's got to come in a newer one. Then somebody's got to come in a better one. And then, you know, we compare churches, and we compare this, and we compare that. It's an age of outdoing. Brother Bam said, you paint your doorsteps, and your neighbor will paint their doorsteps, and so on. But I want us to remember, as I was telling a brother the other day, I said, oh, we need to go back and remember that this all started with a humble Kentuckian with a seventh grade education that was wearing a suit with a hole in the pocket. That he had to put his hand over it because he was ashamed and shake people with his left hand, and say, this one's closer to my heart. That's how this thing got started. A scriptural voice. Could we accept him today if he came in the back door? Or would we tell him, pipe down, Brother Branham, you're disturbing the people. You're making somebody nervous. Brother Branham said, now anybody that passes and sees a voice, and if it is not a scriptural voice, leave it alone.
Amen.
I think we could read that one again.
Yeah.
Now, anybody that passes and sees a voice, and if it is not a scriptural voice, leave it alone. He didn't say contend with it. He didn't say fight against it. He didn't say run the person down. He didn't say get on YouTube and Facebook and argue with him. He said leave it alone.
Amen.
Leave it alone. If the Bible says so, then believe it. Because it's a scriptural voice. That is so simple. And yet you see people get caught up in fantastics. And you see people claiming to believe the message. And they get caught up in all kinds of things. A brother sent me a video a few weeks ago. And was asking me to pray about some situations. There was a brother in the United States that he felt like had influence on this brother. And could maybe help him. But there was a brother from overseas. And he sent me a video, a YouTube link of this man that had stood up in one of their services, and he walked around and stomped his feet, and he said he was Gabriel, or Michael, the archangel, and he was there to sound the trumpet. He went, it sounds funny, but this is in a service. This is happening. And the man walks around to the other corner of the room, and he says that he's got thus saith the Lord, and that he's the God that sent the prophets, and he's going to tell them what thus saith the Lord. And so he gets out a binder of about 40 pages. And I thought, you know, I don't ever remember God having to get out of, you know, and say, Moses, hang on. I got thus saith the Lord for you, but let me find it here. What page was that on? And I asked the brother, I said, are the people actually falling for this garbage? I said, the man needs mental healing. He needs mental healing. It's just a theatrical put on and show in the name of the message. Stood up in a message group, and then another brother that didn't believe in going to church stands up in the back and starts joining in with him, when a few months ago these brothers were at each other's throat, and one called the other one serpent seed, but they recognized they had a mutual enemy of this little church group meeting together, and those spirits connected. And I thought, well, how can people not see right through that? He said, well, some of the people, the majority of them see that it's not right, but he said, there's a few people that are really confused. The brother asked me, he said, how? How in this message could they be confused? I said, they've only got about 8 tapes in their language. Imagine if you only had 8 tapes in your language, you might get confused too. We ought to be thankful. Yes. Yes. Amen. We sit with 1,200 and something messages on our cell phone, many times too busy to listen to them week in and week out. You ought to be thankful. Amen. My, you ought to listen to them while you got the chance. There may come a time when the government cracks down. Your table apps and your CDs and your MP3s and stuff might be confiscated. You better enjoy it while you can. You better listen and embrace it into your heart and into your soul while you can, and say, Lord, I want to hear a scriptural voice so I know how to respond when things arise around this message. I want to know, because if it's scriptural, I want to believe it with everything that's within me. But if it's not a scriptural voice, I just would rather leave it alone. Amen. Daniel chapter 10, verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. And he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia? And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Here he comes, and he tells him, I'm going to speak things to you, but I'm not going to make it up. I'm not just going to say it off the top of my head or the cuff of my sleeve or the seat of my pants, but I'm going to show you things that are noted in the scripture of truth. What is it? A scriptural voice. Brother Branham said when Micah came forth there, can you imagine little Micah, the son of Imlah? And here he comes, and Ahab and Jehoshaphat have joined a league together. And my 400 prophets and all these guys get together, and here they are, and all these prophets of Israel and prophets of this and prophets of that. But these 400 anointed prophets of God come up, and they tell Jehoshaphat and Ahab, they said, look, this land is ours. It's in the word. It's right there. Now, it seemed like a scriptural voice, Brother Lee. They had word for it. Hey, the land is ours. God told Moses to have Joshua give us this land, and the land is ours. But squatters have moved in, and the land is ours. So praise the Lord. Go on and take the land. And they began to prophesy. One put on some horns. And he said, with these horns, I'll run them out of the country. And he began to do all these things. And Jehoshaphat said, There's just something about it, Ahab. You know, we got this great group of unity together, and all these brothers saying the same thing, and they're agreeing with one another and patting one another on the back and saying, hey, we're it, and this is it, and we got it. And he said, but there's just something about it doesn't ring true. He said, have you got one more? One more. Jehoshaphat, here's 400 of the best. Here's 400. My, they've been a blessing to us. And they said they prophesied this and did this and all kinds of wonderful things for us. He said, but have you got one more? 400 is not enough for you, huh? Got to have 401. All right. Well, there's one more, but I hate him. Right. Well, that's a good sign. Jesus said, woe unto you, and when men shall come and speak pleasant of you about all things. He said, so did they to the false prophets back in the Old Testament. Oh, everybody will pat you on the shoulder and say, oh, God bless you, when you always got something good to say to them. But then when you come around with correction of the word, well, they tend to begin to hate you, most people, at least that don't have the Holy Ghost. They want to turn around, oh, bless God, that guy, like Herod did. He, bless God, he told me that I was out of the will of God for marrying my brother's wife. Bless God, I'll do what I want to do. And he can't tell me, but it was a scriptural voice. Amen. And he didn't heed it. And Micah comes. And Brother Branham tells us a little bit of the background of the story. You know, Brother Branham teaches us that sometimes you have to read between the lines. But I've heard some people come and they try to read between the lines and they show it to you and you say, well, that don't even match what's on the line, so I can't accept that. So when you go to try to read between the lines, make sure it matches what's on the line. Brother Branham gives us a little glimpse into Micah's night. And he said, oh my, Micah went down there. And he said, God gave him a vision. Now here he is, a prophet of God. My, you'd think, well, bless God, I got a vision. I'll go down and bless God. I'll tell Ahab. But he said, Micah went back and began to look at what Elijah had said to make sure that his vision compared with what Elijah had said. Oh, to God that every minister, missionary, evangelist, prophet, whatever it would be, would go back and compare everything that they say with what our Elijah has said. Amen. That's where we fail many times. Oh, I got a new this. I got a new revelation. I got a new sensation. I got a new movement, a new excitement, a new theatrical, whatever it be. But does it compare with what Elijah said? Now, Micah comes and he gives forth this prophecy and he goes back and he compares it with what Elijah had said. And Elijah had already cursed Ahab. And Micah said, how can God bless what God's already cursed? And his prophecy was perfectly in line with what Elijah had said. Brother Branham says, we won't have time to look at it this morning, but maybe next week or two. Brother Branham says that a man came to him and said, Brother Branham, did the angel of the Lord tell you that about water baptism? Said, if the angel of the Lord told you that, said, then we'll believe it. He said, if the angel of the Lord told me anything different than that, I wouldn't believe it. This was a voice that had spoke to him since he was a little boy. His first memories were of this voice. Some of his first handful of memories was of this voice speaking to him. And it had never been wrong. Prayer line after prayer line, night after night, vision after vision for his whole life. That voice had never been wrong. And here in the 50s and 60s, he's still taking everything this angel says and comparing it with what the Word of God says. Amen. Does it line up? Why, Brother Branham, it never has been wrong. Oh, but Paul said, even if an angel from heaven comes and speaks anything contrary to what we've already said, let him be a curse. Most of us, we get a little comfortable around somebody. Well, they're anointed. They're a good brother. They're sin of God, I believe. And we just get comfortable. And sometimes things are said, and you think, well, I don't know. I don't really see where they got that. But I guess that surely they know more than me. Surely they know more. Make sure it's a scriptural voice.
Amen.
True. Micah made sure it was a scriptural voice.
Amen.
Brother Branham, when the angel of the Lord spoke to him, he made sure it was a scriptural voice. Ezra chapter 3, verse 2. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Now here it is, hundreds and hundreds of years after Moses. Moses has gone off the scene. Moses is dead. Joshua's dead. Caleb's dead. All of them is dead. David's dead. Solomon's dead. Solomon's temple has been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and his men when they came in. And now they're starting to return back from Babylon after the Medes and the Persians have taken over. And now Ezra begins to restore things. And Nehemiah begins to rebuild the wall. And they begin to set the temple back in order. And what do they do to find out how to have church order? What do they do to find out how to run the services? What do they do to find out whether something's right or not? They went all the way back to Moses, the man of God. And Ezra didn't just get up and say, well, I think it should be this way. Well, I prefer it this way. I believe, you know, we just tend to, our opinion is this, and this is just the way we believe it. This is the way we see it. He went back to what Moses, the man of God, had said.
Amen.
A scriptural voice. Now, we have to be careful because many times, just like there in the days of Micah, sometimes things can have the appearance of a scriptural voice. You know, the very first deception had the appearance of a scriptural voice. When Eve's interpreter came He didn't come and say, hey, we're going to start the Book of the Mormon, or hey, we're going to start Mohammedism, and you don't need this other religion. Hey, we're going to start a new denomination, and you don't need to follow your old prophets and your old gods and all these things. We're going to start something new. He came and he began to quote to her, or to quote to her, the message of the hour. He began to quote to her the message that they had received in their age. They didn't have a whole lot of it, Brother Wade, but he begins to work with that a little bit, and he begins to quote it a little bit. He said, surely. How many times have we heard that? Surely, Brother Bram didn't really mean it that way. Surely Paul didn't really mean that we couldn't have women preachers. Surely this and surely that. Surely, don't you think this would be a better way? Surely God's still not acting the way that he did back there in the Book of Acts. Why would we need that today? We've got technology and we've got all these other things. Surely God. And he begins to just slightly twist. And yet he did. Brother Bram said 90% of it was the truth. But he slips in this one little part. Surely God wouldn't do that. He's a good God. He's a loving God. We've heard that too, haven't we?
Amen.
Oh, the prosperity movement. Oh, he's good. He loves you. He doesn't care what you do. You're his child. Oh, hey, you know what? I've got children too, and I love them, and I care for them. I'd do anything I could for them, but I do care what they do. Amen. If they go out and play on the railroad tracks, I'm going to do something to put it in their mind that, hey, I'm not going to play on the railroad tracks again, because apparently Daddy knows better than me that there's a reason for me not to be out there. And so we do have to pay for our mistakes, and we do have to pay for things. God's a good God, but because he's a good God, he's a righteous God.
Amen.
And to be righteous, he has to love the things that are right. He has to hate the things that are wrong. So we have to make sure that it's a scriptural voice, that it rings true from Genesis to Revelations, from 47 to 65, as we say in this age, a scriptural voice. See, we have this tendency of picking our favorite quotes. Whatever camp, whatever flavor, whatever group you're with. We have a tendency, hey, these quotes are mine, and this applies to me. And these are the ones that when I meet somebody out in Walmart and they start giving me grief, these are the ones that I use because they're my favorite. I want to use it all. Amen. I don't want to have quotes. You know, I was telling a brother the other day some of the fanaticism and things that goes on in the message because people lean a certain way on a certain quote or a certain scripture or a certain tape or a certain movement or whatever it is. They lean so fanatical on it. I said, if you're not careful, the enemy will creep in and he'll say, well, see how fanatical they are about that? Don't play that tape in your church because you know how people are about it. Don't read that quote because you know how people go fanatical about it. Hey, I'm not ashamed of any word of the Lord. I'm not ashamed of any scripture. I'm not ashamed of any quote. Oh, I know people have tried to dissect it and make it say what they want it to say, but we take all of the word. And I'm not going to let Satan bully us around and tell us, well, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that because there's some fanatic out here. No, we're going to take all the word.
Amen.
We're not going to let the fanatics make us ashamed of part of the word just because they run crazy with it. We'll take all the word. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, Jesus here has been Jesus, the flesh, the body, the tabernacle that God dwelt in. He's gone down a sinless body. He goes down, he's baptized in the River Jordan. And John said, hey, I have need to be baptized of thee. And he baptizes Jesus because Jesus said, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Brother Bram said he knew that the sacrifice had to be washed. It had to be cleansed. And so he says, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, can you imagine some of those message believers of John's day, how they must have had a hard time when Peter and Paul come around and Paul finds some of them and he begins to tell them, he said, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Well, they were some good Baptist believers that they thought that once you believed, you got the Holy Ghost. Hey, that's predominant right here in the message. All you got to do is believe. That's contrary to the word. All you got to do is just believe it, Brother Hoover. Our prophet, my prophet, your prophet, our prophet, the prophet, I'll say it that way, said in this age, to believe is not enough. To be associated around it is not enough. He said the devil believes and trembles. Some of us don't even tremble. Oh, we believe, but, you know, God's a good God. He doesn't care. We'll go out and live whatever life we want. Oh, you know, we believe, but we think it's okay to do this and okay to do that. The devil believes and trembles. Can you imagine some of them when Paul said, what have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we didn't know there was any Holy Ghost. He said, well, how were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. He said, hey, that won't work anymore. won't work anymore. Brother Hoover, I was baptized by the man that baptized Jesus. And if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. But there had been a dispensation change. Brother Bram said, it's one thing for a brick mason. You know, I could probably go out here and slap some mortar up and lay bricks down a wall. He said, but when you turn a corner, he said, that takes a real brick mason. And they had turned a corner, a dispensational change, that now it wasn't just a baptism unto looking to what was going to take place. But now, Brother Bram said, and I heard him on tape the other day, is looking back to what Jesus had done for receiving the Holy Ghost. They had to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine how confusing the people would have been if John had tried to get ahead of time and ahead of his dispensation? Jesus came down. He said, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. People said, this guy's crazy. Why? He would have been trying to get ahead of his dispensation. But we recognize that the waterway, in the waterway, Brother Bram said, is the life today. And so Jesus goes down, he's baptized, he comes back off the River Jordan, the fullness of the Godhead bodily comes in him, and he goes out immediately into the wilderness to be tempted. It says in verse 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Now, you notice the difference between the devil and even some of his minions, some of his little imps. See, Legion was bound so much by demons, demon-possessed. He said, Jesus asked him, what's your name? He said, Legion, because there's many of us. I don't believe that was whatever the man's name was speaking. That was the devil speaking out of him. And he ran and threw himself down and said, Jesus, thou Son of God, thou Son of David. And he begins to worship him. And those little bitty demons recognized him as the Son of God.
Right.
But now he's not dealing with some little errand boy. Jesus is dealing with Satan himself, and he says, if thou be the Son of God. Why was it that those demons, when Paul would turn around and a little woman, a fortune teller, would cry and say, these men tell you the way of life, and he'd turn around and curse that spirit that was on her, and that thing professing and telling them what it was, but not giving God the glory? And he turns around and curses that fortune-telling spirit, but yet I'm sure the devil would tell him, Paul, how could you be called? How could you be called Paul? And little Stephen down there, you stood and held the coats of the men and let him stone. Now, it seems like a contradiction. That, hey, the devil's always inconsistent.
Amen, brother.
But these little imps and things that was binding Legion come up and says, thou Son of God. But now, Satan working on Jesus the flesh, working on the man himself, he says, if thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. You know, we'll look at it maybe in a few Wednesday nights. Brother Bram tells us that when the weakest of Christians goes to their knees, that demons tremble.
Right.
Demons tremble. And so with that knowledge, how is it that if we go to your knees and pray and demons are trembling, how is it that Satan is still fighting your mind? They're trembling because they know what's going to take place if you really get through, but Satan is still doing everything he can. Brother Bram said he went down there to pray. He went out there by the Wright's house. He said, I knelt to pray. He said, there were stickers all over my knees. He said, I got up and moved. Then there was mosquitoes everywhere. And he said, then I moved over and there was briars and things scratching me. What was it? Satan doing everything he could to prevent him from doing what was about to take place and going by the way of Carter's.
Amen.
And if he'll do it to a prophet of God, don't you think he'll try to do it to you or me? And every time we kneel down to pray, the phone ring or the text buzz on the phone or the boss knock on the door or somebody down the street call or whatever it be, something constantly. What is he trying to do? He's trying to interfere with that prayer life because he knows if you can stay there long enough that you'll be delivered and he'll be defeated.
Amen.
So the tempter comes to him and says, if, prove it to me, Jesus. Brother Bram said, that spirit's not dead. They told him, if you be the Son of God, come down off the cross. They told Brother Bram, said, hey, if this thing's real, if divine healing's real, hey, we got a graveyard full of people down here, come and heal those. We got a hospital full down here, come and heal those. We got a little girl over here, let's cut her arm and see you heal her. He said, you need mental healing.
Right.
If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, this was the God that had rained manna down out of heaven.
Right.
The Bible said that David in the Psalms there said that they ate angels' food. It was falling down out of heaven, bread. And he says, hey, if you're the Son of God, you did it back there in Moses' day. Create some bread out of these stones. I believe he could have did it. But he answered and said, he didn't say, well, that was for Moses' day, but we don't believe it like that now. He didn't say, well, Moses wasn't really under the anointing back there, and so we just do it a different way now. We kind of selectively pick our favorite, what's anointed and what's not anointed. He didn't dispute that that was the word of Moses. He didn't dispute that that's what took place. He didn't dispute that that was the works of God. But what he does is he says, it is written. Here Satan is trying to point him back to something, some historical, something that took place in the Word, and say, hey, wow, if you're the Son of God, just do this. He said, but it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh them up into a holy city and setteth them on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. So now Satan is going to quote the Word back to him. He's got some quotes too that he wants to use. For it is written. Here he is. He's quoting the Word, Brother Mora. He's just quoting the Word to us. He's not even changing it here like he did to Eve. He's not changing the Word. He's just quoting. It is written. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Oh, you ever heard a hypocrite? Or an atheist or some backslidden Christian try to, you know, use the Word of God against you. And they've got a quote or a scripture tucked under their sleeve and all. Well, if you really are a Christian, then do this. Or if he's really God, let's see him do this. Brother Bam said that God don't act for anybody. He doesn't perform for anybody. He doesn't have to put on a circus for the devil to prove that he's God or that he's Jesus or that he's the Son of God. He doesn't have to do any of that. It is written, he shall give us, he's quoting the Word to him, but what is he doing? He's misconstruing, he's misinterpreting it.
Amen.
This wasn't a suicide insurance policy, this Word here. He's telling Jesus, cast yourself off the pinnacle. Hey, the Word says that the angels are given charge that you won't dash your foot, you won't bump your head, you won't do nothing. Go ahead and cast yourself off. But Jesus recognized this isn't a suicide insurance policy. Amen. This is talking about God protecting us. Hey, how many times has he performed this for you? And maybe you didn't even know it, and other times you did. How many times you've been going around one of these roundabouts and see a semi go back and forth like that, and you think, oh, I guess this is it. And God just bring the thing back out. What was it? He gave his angels charge over you. He is going to protect you, but that doesn't mean Jesus goes and gives him the rest of the Word. Oh, you know, I've seen some people read their favorite quote right up into a certain spot and stop, and I just want to say, read the next sentence. Hey, man, that's good, but read the next sentence. It'd be a whole lot better and make a whole lot more sense if you just go ahead and read that next sentence that you're ashamed of and don't believe. Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What is Jesus doing? I know balance gets made fun of today, but he's bringing balance to the Word of God.
Amen.
It is written again. See, Satan's over here. Well, bless God, the Word of God said this, and this is how it is, and this is how it's going to be, and you can do it, Jesus. Jump off the pinnacle. You got the Word. Go ahead. And Jesus said, well, you're way out of balance, but let me give you this other quote. Let me give you this other quote and balance that baby out for you. Oh my, now we're flying. Amen. Now we're flying. My, you get on a prop plane or something and one engine go out and my, they don't adjust the settings. You'll just be flying around in circles because this one engine's doing all the pulling. You haven't adjusted things out. That's how a lot of people in the message are. Heard a minister preach one time flying with a one-winged bird. You just go in circles. Why? Because you're out of kilter. But Jesus said here, that's good. That tips the scales that way. I see what you're saying. It's the Word. I believe it. He didn't dispute and say, well, that part of the Word wasn't inspired. Or we don't have the revelation to really interpret that, so we'll just leave that alone. We don't. That was for some other day. He said, that's great, but it's also written. And it balanced the thing right back out. A scriptural voice. Now, Satan was trying to imitate a scriptural voice, and he said, oh, the Word says this, Jesus, and the Word says that, Jesus, and the quotes say this, Jesus. And he said, that's right. There's nothing wrong with those quotes. There's nothing wrong with those scriptures. There's absolutely nothing wrong. Those are inspired. But you got to add a little bit of this to it. You're leaving this portion out over here, and it'll settle the thing back out.
Amen.
It's written again, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto them, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Now here he is. The Bible, the scripture said Jesus, knowing that he came from God and he went to God, he rises from supper and he took a towel and girded himself. Here he is, knowing what lies ahead of him in just a few months, knowing that he's going to have to go to the cross, and Satan offers it to him so much easier. No nails, no thorns, no spit, no beard, no whip, no smacking, no piercing, no cross. Just fall down and worship me. It'd be so easy. Jesus, I'm so glad that he was a scriptural voice.
Yes.
I'm so glad that he let the Spirit guide him instead of just letting the flesh guide him.
Right.
The devil always offers the easy way. Don't you think it'd just be easier to compromise a little over here, over there? Don't you think you'd get along a lot better with your family if you just didn't tell them what you believe when they ask you? Don't you think you get along better at work if when they ask you about the Lord, you didn't tell them you was a Christian? Don't you think this? Don't you think that? So, Satan offers the easy way. Then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." I'd like to say this scripture is still in effect. This didn't expire in 1909. "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." He's the only one that deserves our worship.
Amen.
Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. A scriptural voice. You know, Brother Bam tells us many times, he said Jesus could have used his power. He could have turned around and said, "Satan, you know, I created you back there as Lucifer, and you was perfect in the day when I created you until there was all kinds of terrible things found in you, iniquity and all these things." He said, if he spoke him into existence, he could have spoke him out of existence, said, "Satan, I'm done fooling with you." He could have cast him away on Mars and chained him, or he could have put him in another dimension, or he could have did whatever he wanted. But he didn't use any of his great power, Brother Branham said. Why? Because he knew there'd be a group of people in Laodicea that they couldn't just speak him out of existence, that they'd have to be able to follow his example.
Amen.
And so he pointed them back to the word. It is written, it is written, it is written. And here Satan is, "Hey, I got quotes too. I got snippets. I got over here where he said this, and I got over here where he said that." You know, that's what the defectors do. They try to take little snippets and say he was a woman hater and he was this and he was that, because they'll isolate a sentence and not take all that he said. Can you imagine a woman hater saying that the mother was the fifth gospel? He never said that about men. Can you imagine him saying that a woman was the greatest thing that God could give a man outside of salvation if he was a woman hater? I never heard him say that a man was the best thing that he could give a woman outside of salvation. Maybe you brothers have that quote. I haven't found it yet. Job said, "Man is a few days and full of trouble. He's born and the sparks fly upward." Didn't say that about women, did it? Sometimes you just got to let the sisters know, hey, not all this word is negative about them.
Right. Right.
Amen. You get some legalistic pastors that get up and they just want to harp on the women all the time. And usually they don't read those quotes where Brother Branham said, if the man would really get in his place. And they don't read those quotes where he said, "I blame the man for being too big of a sissy to let the standard be before and show her the word." He said that God will hold you accountable for your wife, but he won't hold her accountable for you. Sometimes those quotes don't get read, though. Brother Bram says, "And is your life worthy of the gospel?" We won't start a new doctrine this morning. 1963. He's referring to this man by the name of Dr. Pope, who, if I understand some other quotes right, I believe he was way up in the Assemblies of God movement. And what a name to go along with the story. Dr. Pope. And "Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel?" 1964. He comes to Brother Branham just a few weeks before this. And he tells him. He said, "Brother Branham," said, "we want to come behind you and back you. And we want to, I've met with some of the brothers, and we want to sponsor you just to hit some of the nerve centers and things. Brother Branham says, he said, I talked with the brother not long ago, and they told me to get in contact with you and tell you that it was a shame that you took that God-given ministry to a bunch of people off the river and around like that. I said, that right? Yes. Said, God sent that ministry to hit the nerve spots, the big spot, the highlights. I seen the devil talking right then. I seen the devil talking right then. Here this man's talking to him. Oh, Brother Branham, we want to sponsor you. Don't forget these little humble people down here in this old cinder block building. Forget about that. We want to take you. We want to do great, big, mighty. We got millions of dollars. We want to put you in a jet, and we want to fly you around, hit the nerve centers, take you to this big group. And take. But Brother Branham said he got to thinking, Jesus didn't go to the great nerve centers when he was here.
Right.
Said the humble people, the common people heard him gladly. He said, I seen the devil talking right then. Now, this is Dr. Pope speaking. It wasn't some guy with horns and a pitchfork and a tail said, Brother Branham. Just a man standing there. A man in maybe a suit and a tie. And here he is, some great doctor of divinity up in the Assemblies of God Church. His last name's Pope. I mean, goodness gracious, surely we should listen to the guy. And he comes along and he says, I seen the devil talking right then. Why? Because it wasn't a scriptural voice. I thought, yeah, I'd jump down off this mountain and show you, off this building. See? He goes on a little further. He said, I said, well, what would I have to do? He said, before this part of the quote, he said, you give a cow enough rope, he'll hang himself. Oh, we've seen that happen a few times. I said, well, what would I have to do? He said, well, Brother Branham, just only thing they said, we discussed it, a few things, little petty things that you teach that you just lay them aside. I said, for instance, what, brother? Oh, he said, your baptism, you kind of baptize like the oneness, something like that. Said little things like that. I said, oh, went ahead. And he said, the initial evidence and women preachers and just a few little things like that. No wonder he could say, I heard the devil speaking right then. Oh, we'll get behind you. We'll back you. We'll build you a bigger church. We'll put you on the front row. We'll fly you all around the world. We'll send you to this group and send you that. What have I got to do? Just compromise a little bit with the word. That's all. Just compromise a little bit with the word. That's all that the devil wanted Jesus to do. Just compromise. We've got quotes in scriptures too. We got this and that. But a scriptural voice. Jesus didn't come around and say, well, I came to fulfill most of the prophecies about Messiah, but there's a few that we don't really need. He fulfilled all that Messiah was to be. I know it's hard for people in this age to recognize that God sent Malachi 4 and Revelations 10:7, but we recognize it as a scriptural voice because he fulfilled what the scripture said. I can look at the scriptures and I can look at Brother Bram's ministry. I can say, hey, one and one is two. It all just works together. I look at other men out here, great anointed men, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, different ones. Some of them great, mighty ministries, reaching millions, saving souls through their ministry and things like that. Praise the Lord. But it didn't match Malachi 4, 5, and 6. It didn't match Revelation 10, 7. There were great men in Jesus' day. There were other men that were crucified. There were other men that could say, hey, they pierced my hands and my feet. They fulfilled that. They could have went around and said, hey, I'm a Messiah. Look, they striped my back. They did this. They spit on my face. Hey, one of my friends betrayed me. They could go around and say, hey, look, I'm Messiah because of this. But they couldn't fulfill all the word.
All right.
A scriptural voice will come consistently all the way through. Word upon word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. A scriptural voice. When Brother Branham came, we could look at his ministry and we didn't have to question, well, is predestination right or is it not right? Is this just something William Branham made up? We could go right back into the Word and look at Colossians and look at Ephesians and look at Romans and say, hey, it was right there all the time. It was a scriptural voice. When he spoke of serpent seed, we didn't have to say, was this just some crazy something? That we could look back and we could see it in the Word and say, oh, well, that's the only thing that makes sense.
Right.
Eating an apple, what would that have to do with childbirth? And what would that have to do with the woman's seed and the serpent seed? What would that have to do with all these things? What would that have to do with eating fruit? It made sense because it was a scriptural voice.
Amen.
The Godhead. No woman preachers. No eternal hell. All these things, the reason they make sense to you is because it was a scriptural voice. And we didn't have to have the Book of the Mormon or the Book of so-and-so or somebody's idea. He took us back to the book. And he said, it's right there. It's just been hid. It's right there. It's just been veiled. It's just right there. But denominational tradition had watered it down, and people had been blinded for so many years. But he didn't have to come up with some new something and say, well, we can't really bring this through the scripture, but I'm just going to go out on a limb. He said, no, right here. When he stood there with all those, with his 300 prophets of Baal, when he stood there with those 300 of the Ministerial Association of Chicago, he didn't say, come up here and perform the sign of the Son of Man, and then I'll believe you. Come up here and imitate my gift, and then I'll believe you. He said, here I am, one man with my Bible. Come and show me where I'm wrong in the Bible, on water baptism and the Godhead, and I'll apologize. He told that one brother, we just heard it on tape, he said, come and show me in the Word where that ever took place. And he said, I'll let you drive me through town with the sign on my back, false prophet, and honking the horn going behind me saying, hey, false prophet. And he said, if you'll do that to me, then if I can show it to you in the scripture, you ought to let me do it to you.
Amen.
A scriptural voice.
Amen.
I'd like to say this morning, musicians, if you'll come, I'm trying to close. Whether it's me, Brother Hoover, Brother Arnie, Brother Layton, Brother Trevor, somebody from some other church, whatever it is, somebody out in the parking lot trying to share, enlighten you with their new idea,
come on,
or their new way of seeing it, or what Brother so-and-so said in some other state or some other country or some other church, make sure it's a scriptural voice.
Amen.
Not just a little portion, not just a little snippet of, well, here's a paragraph. Can't you see it, Brother Hoover? It's right here in this paragraph. Oh, you can make a paragraph say a lot of things. I can take a paragraph and make it look like Brother Branham believed that in an eternal burning hell, and we know that he didn't, but I can take a paragraph and show it to you and make it look like it. You can take a paragraph and do a lot of things. I can take a scripture and tie them together like Brother Branham said and say, Judas went and hung himself, go do thou likewise. But it's not a balance. It's not tying it together in the appropriate way. But a scriptural voice won't just have to be, well, Sister Stephanie, here's this little quote book of my 5 quotes, and this is what we believe. And don't look in the rest of the Bible or the rest of the message. This is all you need. But it'll be Genesis to Revelation. And you'll say, my, everywhere I look, I see that. Everywhere I read, that makes sense and it stands out to me. And you go into the message and you begin to search, and way back in 47 he's talking about it, and all the way in 65 you can still see it. And you say, well, praise the Lord, it's got to be the truth. I see it all the way unfolded, all the way through the revelation. That's when you know you're standing with the scriptural voice. And if you can't do that, and you look at something, brother so-and-so come up and say, Brother Hoover, I've got something fresh from the throne, brother, and spout it off, and you say, I just don't know how that can work when there's these other quotes over here that are in direct contradiction to that. And I don't know how that can work when there's these other scriptures out here that, as long as they're still in effect, it's just a direct contradiction of that, then it's not a scriptural voice.
Amen.
We take it back to the Word for our absolute.
Amen.
In this age, I would say one of the most important things is to know what your absolute is.
Amen.
If Nathan Bryant is your absolute, then you will fail miserably. If any other man, oh, I know that scares people today, but I'll just say it. If any other man, I'll scare you a little more. The flesh of Brother Branham is not my absolute. You say that, you're treading on dangerous territory, Brother Nathan. The flesh of Brother Branham is not my absolute. The flesh of Brother Branham put those shells in the gun and was going to kill a boy. If that's my absolute, I'll go out and do the same thing. That's not my absolute. But the Word that God gave to him and the scriptural foundation that he based it all on, that is my absolute. That is my absolute. No matter how much I love a brother, no matter how much I appreciate a brother, I don't think Brother Hoover would ever do it. But if he came to me and said, Brother Nathan, I believe it's this or nothing. I believe it's got to be this way. I'd say, Brother Hoover, I love you. But when I go back to my absolute, I don't see that.
Right.
But if you make Brother Nathan your absolute, then just whatever Brother Nathan says, well, that goes. Well, did you check it with the Word? Well, you know, he's such a good brother. I mean, Brother Nathan wouldn't say anything to offend us or hurt us. He, you know, I love him, and he labors so hard, and he goes and prays for the sick, and my, he's been studying and anointed and all these things, and don't make me your absolute. You'll find yourself in a mess. You'll find yourself in a mess. You'll find yourself trying to drive the same car and have the same kind of house and raise your kids the same and do all these little things that I feel convictions about. You'll try to line yourself up with that. I'm not your absolute, but I'm sure trying to point you to the absolute.
Amen.
Amen. Don't make anything else your absolute but the Word.
Amen.
A scriptural voice. It'll never lead you wrong.
Amen.
Moses could sit there on the side of the mountain, say, I know, Lord. I know I've had that gift in my life my whole life. I've just been running for it, running from it. God said, go deliver my people. He came up with all kinds of excuses, but deep down inside he knew that's a scriptural voice. God equipped him to do it. The God that sent him could equip him. He tried to stumble around and say, well, Lord, I can't do this. I stutter and I'm slow to speak and I'm this and I'm that. And God said, hey, that's okay. I'll send Aaron with you. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do. But you're the man I'm calling and you're going to go. And it's my word. And he recognized it. That's a scriptural voice. That's a scriptural voice. We're supposed to be in Canaan's land. We're supposed to be the seed of Abraham. He promised us to give us the land. And here we are in bondage out here in Egypt. Oh my, he recognized it as a scriptural voice. Aren't you thankful this morning that you recognized when you heard an eagle scream? You recognized that's a scriptural voice. That's not the thoughts of a Kentuckian. That's not the thoughts of some hillbilly with a seventh grade education. That's the thoughts of God being expressed to his people. How did you know? Just because he had a picture with the pillar of fire over his head? No, that was wonderful. I thank God for that vindication. But hey, people could Photoshop that today, so don't just go off of that. They didn't have Photoshop back then, but we're living in another age today.
Amen.
How do you know? Brother Bram said, how did you know when a prophecy went forth in the Old Testament, if it was the Word of God or not, it would flash on the Urim and Thummim. Didn't matter how excited they got, they could jump and scream and holler and click their heels and prophesy, and if that Urim and Thummim just sat there, they'd say, sorry, sounds real nice. Sounds real sweet. I think you got good intentions. I think you got emotional excited. But it didn't ring true on the Urim of Thummim. And he said, what's our Urim of Thummim today? The Word of God.
Amen.
So I don't care how excited. I don't care how mad. I don't care how adamant somebody is. I don't care how red in the face they get or how loud they scream. If it doesn't match this, it's not a scriptural voice.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you that in this age we received a scriptural voice. Lord, where would we be without it? I know there's many that contend against it. I know there's many that bring fanaticism from it. But that doesn't take away from the message. Paul said, what if some didn't believe? Would that hinder God? He said, God forbid. Doesn't matter what people do. Doesn't matter how people try to take it and twist it and make it say what they want to say or how many people doubt it. There's a group in this age, just like in Moses' day, just like in Paul's day, just like in John the Baptist's day, just like in Elijah's day. There's a group of people that'll embrace it and recognize it as a scriptural voice. Lord, we thank you for the vindications. We thank you for the signs. We thank you for the wonders. We thank you for the miracles, Lord. It got our attention. Many of us sitting here, Lord, either us or our families, those miracles and those prayer lines and the vindication of the Holy Spirit moving, the discernment, the sign of the Son of Man, it caught our attention, Lord. But Lord, that wasn't the greatest vindication. The greatest vindication to us that Brother Branham was a prophet of God was that he had a scriptural voice. That he pointed us back to the Word. That he didn't point us to himself. That he didn't point us to some opinion or some worked up something. But he pointed us to the Scriptures. That it settled us. It became the dissolver of doubts to us because we could look and see it plainly. Oh, God, help us in this age of deception, in this age where it's so close to deceive the very elect if it was possible. Lord, help us to make sure we're following a scriptural voice. Lord, help us before we get too excited or too worked up or too out on a limb about some doctrine or some idea or some personality or some movement. Lord, help us to make sure that we're listening to a scriptural voice. That it goes hand in hand. That we can look in Genesis and see it. We can look in Exodus and we can see it. And all the way down to Revelation, it doesn't contradict. Lord, then we know that's a scriptural voice. That we can turn on a tape back in 47, it doesn't contradict. And over in 59, it's still saying the same thing. And down into 65, right before he goes off the scene, and we still hear it saying the same thing. We recognize, Lord, it's a scriptural voice then. But when it's some snippet that somebody's trying to put their own perverted twist to, like Satan did, and say, well, this says this, so this must mean this. Oh, God, help us to make sure it's a scriptural voice. Satan could quote the word, but Jesus quoted it right back to him and said, Satan, that doesn't fit the whole revelation. You're trying to take that out of context. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to stay with the scriptural voice. Lord, the Holy Spirit, it's the only thing it'll respond to. Anything that's not a scriptural voice, it'll quench that Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit loves to hear that word quoted back to it. It loves to have that, Lord, the interpreted word come back and speak to it. It's what it feeds on. So if we've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, it'll feed on the word. If we want to grow, we'll be in the word. We'll be in prayer. We'll be in study. We'll be listening to the tapes. We'll be coming to church. Why? Because that's what's down on the inside of us is feeding on. Help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, even in all the confusion and even in all the fussing and fighting and stewing and division, still, Lord, when we look and see what you brought us from and what you're doing, Lord, may all that just fade away. May we look into the reality of all that is just distractions on the side, scarecrows to get us distracted from the real truth, but just to stay in line as the prophet commanded us. Keep in step. Stay in line. Stay with the word. Don't let all the distractions drag us down and confuse us and tear us back and forth and raise our blood pressure. But Lord, help us to stay in step with that scriptural voice. We ought to be the happiest people to know that we can walk in the truth, walk in the light. What a blessed people we are in this age. Help us not to take it for granted, Lord. Oh, may it be life to us, Father. Be with us, Lord, as we go our separate ways today. Protect us. Bring us back at the appointed time. Lord, may we go out of here closer to you than we were when we came in. More established, more grounded in your word, Lord. Lord, if we see something rise up and it's not a scriptural voice, Lord, help us just to leave it alone and walk on in the light, walk on in the word. Thank you for truth, Lord. We love you in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, why don't we sing it together? Oh, can't you see? Let's stand and sing it. Why I'm so happy. For I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken. By the prophet. Oh, we recognized it as a scriptural voice. We got something to be happy about this morning. Oh, can't you see why I'm happy? For I've accepted the word.
about the Lord Jesus this morning. I'm not going to ask you to show your hands, but I would say the majority of this congregation this morning would be able to say, like Sister Jeannie and I can right now, we know Brother Nathan was not in our living room listening to our conversation. But somebody was. Somebody came to this pulpit this morning and spoke answers to the conversation that we had. A man can't do that. A man didn't do that, but the Holy Spirit did. I love him. I appreciate Brother Nathan. But what happened this morning makes me love Jesus Christ so much more. Drew me closer to him. Amen. Let your word be formed in the manger of my heart. Let it live in me. Let it start. Live inside this house of clay. Mold me every day. Let to a truth that Brother Branham brought, that my 27 years of being raised in a Pentecostal home never opened this up to me until one day I heard a voice on a tape. It was a scriptural voice, and it said these words. It said, if the spirit of Beethoven dwelt in me, I would do the works of Beethoven. If the spirit of John Dillinger dwelt in me, I would do the works of John Dillinger. And if the spirit of Jesus Christ dwells in me, I will do the works of Jesus Christ. That didn't puff me up. That didn't make me want to toot my horn. That didn't make me want to build some kingdom of this world and build some congregation or anything. It humbled me down and said, Lord, I want to be more like you. Lord, I want you to live through these hands. I want you to live through these feet. I want you to speak through these lips, Lord. That's what it did. Pentecost could never explain that to me. Like Brother Arnie said the other night, they had it in a shout, they had it in a speaking in tongues, they had it in a dance, they had it in a motion or in some music. That's why it was an ism. This is not an ism. This is Jesus Christ's life inside of human flesh,
And I'm not just talking about Brother Branham. I'm talking about inside flesh that I'm looking at this morning. Jesus Christ living out through men and women. Hallelujah.
Brother Furman has sent us a prayer request. 1-year-old Journey Card has been hospitalized with 106 fever, and her mother, Monica, is also sick. That life that's inside of you can reach out right now across miles. You can't go to Utah or wherever this is. You can't get there. But that God inside of you can reach.
Yes.
Do abundantly above what you can think or ask. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, our brother has been to Utah, Lord, and he's tried his best for the time that he was there to live a life and to let that life of Jesus Christ shine through him. Lord, I don't know what it was that he said or that he did, but Lord, something caused someone to see Jesus Christ in our brother, and now he's on his way home, and someone's reached out to him and said, there's one that's been sick, taken to the hospital with 106 degree fever. Lord, they reached out to Brother Furman for a reason, because they understand that there's something besides Brother Furman that's living inside of him. Lord, I'm not trying to build up the man. I'm just trying to show you, Lord, that I understand how you work through your body. Lord, now as a body of believers here in New Albany, Indiana, we reach out, Lord, and we ask that spirit that lives within us, that God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, to go to wherever this hospital is. I'm saying Utah, I don't know where it's at, but Lord, you know where it's at. And you know where that child is, and you know that spirit of fever that has a hold of it. And Lord, you have power over that spirit. And Lord, with the authority of the Word of God that's been preached this morning, and with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, we ask that you reach out and break that spirit on this child now and touch its mother as well. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, for there is no other name that we can come to you through except by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you now for this work. And Lord, those others that are sick among us, Lord, you have the power wherever they're at, Lord, in Jeffersonville and New Albany and Sellersburg, Lord, wherever they're at, you heard the request at the start of the service. Lord, you can go there. You're not limited, Lord, just to one location at one time, but you can go to all these different places and touch. Lord, when we come together again this evening, we're going to lift up our hands, we're going to lift up our voices, and we're going to sing about a God that there's no other God like you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know quite what to do. The presence of God is so real. Anything is possible in this presence. Anything. It is no secret what God can do. What
as they continue to play that. I've been serving the Lord 30 years. I've never been in this situation that I can remember. If you need to go, you're dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus. But if you don't think God's done touching your life this morning, if there's something that you're still lacking, if this God that Brother Nathan preached about demonstrated to us and that is here right now, if you feel like that there's something that he needs to do, take away a sin, fill you with the Holy Ghost, heal your body, you're welcome to stay as we worship the Lord. I'm not going to feel different about you whether you go or whether you stay. That's entirely up to you. You serve God. You do what you feel is best for you and your family. We love you. We'll be back here tonight. Lord willing, we'll hear more about this Jesus that's called Christ. God bless you. turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Don't you just want to reach out and touch the hem of that garment? Entertain that presence right now. In His wonderful face, He's moving in somebody's life. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Yeah.